everyone. Like a bad dream, I am back. And here we go. There was a missionary who was so excited. He recently graduated from seminary, and he wanted to take the gospel to the far reaches of where people that have never heard about Jesus. He had a lot of enthusiasm. He was pretty pumped up, but wasn't always very wise because he was so fresh. And he started to make his way through the jungle, and he was going to take the gospel to a very isolated tribe. And he was making his way toward the tribe. There was a sense that somebody was watching him. And he looked around. He couldn't see anything. But what he didn't know was there was a great big old lion laying in the brush. You've seen this on Discovery Channel. You know, they lay down and they wait for something to go by and then they pounce on them. And so he was walking, had this feeling that somebody was watching him. And just as he turned around to see if there was anybody, here was this lion in full gallop, just all stretching out to get him. And this boy did what I think every true man of God would do. Scream like a 13-year-old girl. And run as fast as possible. And he began to run like crazy. And he was like, realized, well, I got to have a better strategy because I'm not going to outrun this lion. And as he began to ponder it, he thought the only training he had, it, you know, he could parse Greek and Hebrew, but he didn't know how to deal with lions. And so he was like, I'm just going to play dead. So he just lays down. And pretty soon this lion's just sniffing this guy up, just kind of seeing who he is. But at that moment, his theology kicked in. He said, surely I can pray through this. And he was like, Lord, please let this lion be a Christian lion. I think we can cut him some slack, you know. He's under pressure here, right? And it was just about that time he heard the lion pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. Now, I tell you that story because it depends on your perspective, right? If you're the lion, that's one perspective. If you're the missionary, you're a different perspective. Today, people in America, some of us, not even close to all of us, got out of bed and came to church today around the country, right? And some of the churches that people are going to don't ever open up this book. They think they got better ideas than this book. So it's not as good as we think it is, right? It depends on whether you really know who God is versus just churchianity. And so what I want to do is I want to just explore with you for a moment, if you would be kind enough, just to, like, how can we know if we really encounter who God is, or if we're just going through spiritual motions? Because I think there's a lot of things happening in America and around the world that are just religious motion, but they're not following Jesus. There's a huge difference between I go to church and I know Jesus, and I'm following Jesus. I fear in every church there's a group of people who are religious, but they don't know Jesus. So I want you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. If you didn't bring your Bible, for crying out loud, what the heck are you doing? Get your Bible out, all right? This is the Word of God, and we need to hear it. You need to read it, and I need to preach it. Watch this. Isaiah is going to show us the difference between religious motion and really knowing the God of the Bible. Here it is, Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now let's talk about Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah was a prophet. You don't choose to be a prophet. God chooses you to be a prophet. That's how that works. And some of God's prophets didn't really like to do what God wanted them to do. You ever read the book of Jonah? Not a very good prophet, right? But Isaiah was a good prophet. And he says, I need to tell you something, because Jewish people are especially religious, right? Catholics are especially religious people, right? Jewish people were very religious. There were all these Old Testament commands that you had to do. There was this whole clean things and unclean things. It was crazy. And so it's easy to get caught up in religious motion. I go to church, I sing, I throw a $5 in the box there, and then I listen to some guy preach and rattle on, right? That kind of thing. It's religious motion. Or it could be an encounter with God. And this is what Isaiah is going to tell us. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Friends, when you encounter God personally and powerfully, and it changes something in you, you're never the same. That's the kind of encounter. It's not just religious motion. It's a personal encounter with God Almighty. And he says, it happened in the year that King Uzziah died. There are times in our life, dates become something because something crazy happened. It could be bad, it could be good, or in between, but it could be this like spiritual encounter with God. I was 15 years old when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's how I count my relationship with God over the years. If you're wondering, I have 104 years with Jesus now. I look very old. I know. I'm 47 years I've been following Jesus, starting at 15. But I go back to that moment when I bowed my heart and said, you are the King of the world, and you own me. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, I received that, and here I am. It's been the most powerful thing in my life. And I suspect many of you as well, too. But the ones I'm worried about are, they're just good Baptist. Did you hear what I said? Baptist isn't going to get you into heaven. Jesus is. And I would say that for all denominations. Look what he says. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What was the Lord doing? He was seated on a throne. I have to say something to you. This is a jacked up time. All of my time on earth, this is the most jacked up time. We don't know what's up. We don't know what's down. We're not sure about true and what's false. There's just so much crazy going on right now. People saying exactly the wrong things at the wrong time. It is an election year. It's all this kind of stuff, right? It's all that kind of stuff. Lots of crazy stuff going on. But here's the good news. Look at this out. He says, I saw the Lord, and what was the Lord doing? He was seated on a throne. I get a little nervous about the craziness of this world. Just a little bit, don't you? Because that shows some form of awareness, right? Like, it's kind of crazy. I don't know what's going on right now. But I don't have to live in fear. You know Christ. You're a people that follow Jesus together. You don't have to live in fear. You know the one who's sitting on the throne. He's sitting. He's not pacing the floor of heaven. What did I make it such a hot mess down there? It's none of that. Jesus is seated. He's got this. Jesus has got you. He's got you. And this leads me to my first point. My first point is this. When you quit being religious and encounter with God, you will go, wow. Now, here's what I want you to do with me. Point to the heavens with me. Come on. Some of you are like, we're not Pentecostal, Bill. We don't do this. It's only Pentecostal if you throw both hands up, okay? So just throw one hand up here and shoot. Say this. Wow. God seated on the throne, and Isaiah goes, wow. Say it loud. Wow. Say it proud. Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Some of you had to think about that. Some of you didn't, like, I don't know how to do that backwards. Wow. And watch what happens here. Wow. He's seated on the throne. He's high and exalted, like as if there's nothing higher than. There's angels. There's all these other things. But God is the highest and exalted. And it says the train of his robe filled the temple. So I would guess in this particular sanctuary that when you do a wedding here somewhere, There's these lanes that, you know, we can do. And what we did, the idea here is like in a wedding, right? There's always the bride. She's the one, man. I mean, the guy, he's part of it, but he's nothing really, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's really about the woman. I get this, right? And I'm glad about that. But if you were, I would imagine if you were having a wedding, that she might come down this way and the pastor would be down here. And, you know, you got the groomsmen and you got all the beautiful maids of honor and all that stuff. And the woman comes down, you know, you've got to stand up. Everybody looks at her and she's got this beautiful, long, long gown, right? This long dress, wedding dress. I might have mentioned, I have 7 kids, 6 daughters. And I would also say expensive gowns is what I would say. And the idea here, as the woman comes, you know, everybody stands up, and the woman comes down the lane here, and it's almost like the longer the train on the woman's gown, the more beautiful and majestic is the bride. God's train on his robe is so long, it filled the temple. In other words, there's no one more beautiful and majestic than our God. Can I get a wow? Come on, talk to me. Wow. That's right. That's what Isaiah is trying to get us here. He's trying to get us to understand who God is. He's mind-blowing. And if that's not enough about God, above him are seraphs. This is interesting. We know of 2 classes of angels in the Bible, seraphim and cherubim. These are seraphs. Cherubims tends to be the ones that God dispatches on missions, and they go talk to people, angels like that. They intervene in earthly affairs. Angels do, right? The seraphs are around God at all time, and they're all worshiping the God of all gods. The word seraph literally means to burn. Have you ever seen somebody, once they find Jesus and they start to follow Jesus, and they ever hear somebody say, that person is on fire for God. Have you heard that? That's legit. And I'll tell you why. Because around God are these angels called seraphs, and it means to burn. It's to burn. It's this great passion and enthusiasm for loving God because of his great love for us. That's called the gospel. So above him were seraphs. And it says, each had 6 wings. I've watched angels in the outfield and two wings. They all have 2 wings. But here the seraphs have these 6 wings. Why? I'm so glad you asked. Because the Bible's going to tell us. Look what it says. Above him were seraphs, verse 2. Each had 6 wings. I'll say it with me. Wow. Wow. That's mind-blowing. Why 6 wings? With 2, they covered their faces. Why? You're going to find out later. With 2, they covered their feet. And with 2, they were flying. And as they were flying, they called out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. It's not like Isaiah said, I want to write a really big book, so I'm going to use a lot of words. No, it's not that. He said, you know why he says God is holy, holy, holy? Because he's not just holy. He's not just holy, holy. He's holy, holy, holy. And that it literally means set apart. In other words, there's no one or thing or person or being more set apart, more grand, more beautiful than our one God in a triune Godhead. And all God's people said, wow, let's remember who our God is. This is Theology 101. And look what it says, at the sound of the angels' voices. This is crazy as they're flying there, covering their eyes and then their feet, and they're flying around. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook and the temple filled with smoke. Let's pretend right now. what would happen after church if right now everything started to shake in here and smoke came in? It'd be like one of my favorite concerts where they do all that stuff, right? Smoke. And it was all over the place. And if like you went to lunch after church, and we actually had an earthquake here at this church and smoke came here. And like, hey, did you go to church today? Yeah, I went to church today. What happened? Oh, boring. No, you'd be like, oh my goodness, it was crazy. This crazy man was preaching from the Bible and all of a sudden everything started to shake all over and smoke went everywhere. You would tell everybody about it, right? Because you would be like, wow, wow. You know what? Religion is so boring. Churchianity is so sad and sorrowful and pitiful. But you get connected to the God of the Bible, buckle in. You're going to go for a ride, and you're going to go, wow. But you're not only going to go, wow. You know what else you'll do? You're going to go, whoa. Point to yourself, not to your neighbor. Point to yourself and say, whoa. Look what it says. This is verse 5. And I'm going to say it like it says in the book. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. This is what happens when you get to know who God is. He's so holy, he's so full of love, he's so full of light, he's so amazing, he's so different than us, yet he still loves us so much. But when you meet God, you are automatically aware of your sin. Woe to me, he says. Look what he says. He says, I live among people of unclean lips, and my lips are bad, right? He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I love among people of unclean lips, and I have seen the King. You know what's interesting to me? I've been a Christian now for 47 years, and here's what I know about church people. Church people often, like, you know, you might not commit adultery. You might not go out and put on a banger this weekend. You know, I mean, you're not going to drink until you throw up. But you know, here's what I find is we think gossip and using our language to talk down to people and hurt people with words. We think that's little. We're like, the big thing, well, I didn't kill anybody and I didn't cheat on my wife and I didn't steal a large amount of money or anything like that. You know what's interesting to me? When Isaiah gets into the presence of God, he's blown away by the wow, but he also sees the sin in his life. And it's interesting to me. He says this. He says, I am ruined. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. It's not a little thing to be a gossip. It's not a little thing to say bad things about people. It's interesting to me that many of us in the body of Christ can talk evil about people that we go to church with or we don't like, and we got our little groups that we do 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 do, and never once do we ever get a conviction like, I need to shut my face because I'm dishonoring God and I'm hurting the body of Christ. That's a problem. You know what? I'm going to say it. If you can talk bad about people and dismantle the unity of the body of Christ by your gossip, you're a religious person. You don't know who Jesus is. Because if you did, you would be so enamored with who God is, and you would want to build the body of Christ, not tear it down. The fact that we can just chew on each other like crazy, and it never comes to our hearts that we need to stop it right now, shows that we're on it's religion. And that's empty and useless. It's just church on motion, just whatever. God, help us all. Whoa. Whoa. When's the last time you went whoa? You know what? I want to flip the coin here for a moment. It's okay to go whoa. My favorite parts of the Bible are all the blues. Did you know that there's 150 psalms? They're songs. And the largest swath of psalms are laments, a.k.a. the blues. Dun, 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 dun. I fell away from Jesus. I don't read my Bible anymore. My dog doesn't even like me. Right? I mean, that's the blues. This is what I love about Jewish people. You know when they're sad. What does Isaiah do? Woe unto me! I am in big trouble. You know, here's what happens at church. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Ha, ha, ha. You can't be great every Sunday. You live in a crazy world, and you're crazy, and I'm crazy. We all need Jesus. But we okay, sure, I'm good. When's the last time you went, whoa? I actually think there's hope for people who are like, yeah, I'm jacked up right now. I'm not doing well. Because now you know who to run to. You run to Jesus. You run to God. It's beautiful because he already knows we're but dust. That's what the psalm says. We're but dust. God looks at us like, well, they're just humans. You know, they don't really get it, but they try, right? And he runs to us. So I want to tell you something. Some of you, because in Christianity today, this is interesting. You always got to be happy. How you doing? Praise the Lord. I'm always doing good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not true. It's okay to go, whoa. In fact, you might be really encountering God if you're having craziness in your life. Jesus said, I came to set the world on fire. You should look that one up. And there, it happens. It gets jacked up fast. It's, can I say, I think there's more hope for the people that go, I'm in trouble. I'm not doing well. Because now you know you need to move something. The problem with the religious people, they just don't admit that. They just live in their, you know, just tell themselves they're fine. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross and shed his blood. So that us people who are broken can be healed. That's how this works. So say it with me. How can we tell if we're going through religious motion or we're encountering God? We will go, did I miss you? Here we go. Wow. Ready? Say it loud. Wow. And you'll also, when you see who God is and how great he is, you're going to see sin in your life. And you need to go, whoa. By the way, you know how you, the Hebrew for whoa? Oi! Hey, let's be Hebrews right now. Let's learn a Hebrew word and how to pronounce it. Oi. Say it with me. Oi. Now say it like you're really in trouble. Oi. Yeah, that's how it is. I've been to Israel, and when you go to the Western Wall, I hear all the time, oi, 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 oi. It's just a word. It's woe is me. It's woe is me. It's okay. It's part of our journey with God. And it sets you apart from religion because religion is happy, happy, happy. You're just fine the way you are. And God is like, no, I had to send my son to save you. You are broken. You need me. I'm your only hope, Jesus would say. So it's okay to go, wow. It's okay to go, oi. But watch this. The moment, this is what I love. The moment Isaiah confesses his sin, and that's what he says. He says in verse 5, woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. That's a confession of sin. Look at to the next part, verse 6. Then. Now there's two thens coming, right? Then is sequential. Then one of the seraphs, one of the angels, flew to me with a live coal. So he flies over, grabs a coal with some tongs that is in a part of the temple that was always on fire there. There was always like a smoke rising up. And it says, he flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, he takes this coal and he touches his lips, Isaiah's lips. And he says, see, the angel says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. I love that. And your sin is atoned. Your sin is forgiven. So here's what happens. He puts that on his lips and he says, your sin is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Now, it's even better than that. Look what it says. Your guilt is taken away. Now, I want to tell you something what religion is full of. Guilt. Religion is full of guilt. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. You can't pray enough. You can't read the Bible enough. You can't be more religious. You have to live in a church, you know, and even that's not going to solve it. But he says, I will take the guilt away. I guarantee you, in a room like this, from our childhood and teenage years, or maybe even more recently in our lives, we have done some things that are so repugnant to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm guilty. It's okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm telling you. And there's two ways to deal with this. One is to be religious and pretend like everything's good and it's not. Or you can just go to God and say, God, you're amazing. Wow. I'm in trouble. Whoa. And it's my mouth that, in this case, it was my mouth that gets me going there, right? And then God, the moment you confess your sins, God starts to move toward you. And he says, I'm going to clean you up. Here's what he does. He moves over and he puts that hot coal right on his lips and he says this beautiful thing. See, he says, notice this. This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. I need to say something to you. I guarantee you every person in this room that is above 18 has something they wish they've never done. I do. Several. If I could go back in my life and not have that, I would do that. But I got something even better than that. The blood of Jesus Christ. This has touched your lips. The moment you confess, this is the 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, write this down, 1 John 1:9. I want you to write down one thing from my sermon today. 1 John 1:9. You're going to need it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? It's this, Lord, I screwed up. It was sinful. I was a jerk. I did something I should have never done. And it was sin. I call it sin. I'm not calling it a weakness. Jesus didn't die for weakness. He died for sin. And the moment you call it sin, you have great news coming your way because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. Don't ever give yourself the benefit of doubt. Just call it sin. Because the moment you do that, God comes rushing to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one, the King, who is the King of all kings, who died on a cross, shed his blood, rose again, so that you could have a relationship with him, and he will forgive you, I promise you. Amen. Have you ever said, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin I just sinned? And then like a couple seconds later, you're like, Lord, I want to talk to you about that sin. And Jesus is like, I don't remember. This is how good the gospel of Jesus is. It's better than you ever thought. You confess your sins and he runs to you. And it's over. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Boom. I should just walk off now because that's enough right there. It really is. God isn't condemning you. He's trying to rescue you. And all you got to do is agree with him. God, I just sinned. I just gave the international high sign to some guy in the car, right? Whatever. Lord, what was going on in my head there? My old nature took over me there, right? Stop that. But just call it what it is. This is what Isaiah is saying. He's like, Woe to me, I cried. And then he says, look at this. So watch. We got two things going so far. How can you tell if you're religious or if you have a relationship with God? The first one is, relationship with God, you're going to go, wow. Say it with me. Wow. And then you'll see sin in your life. That's a good sign because God's at work in your life. That's good. But you're going to go, whoa, whoa. But here's the good news. He's going to, look what he says. See, this is touch your lip. Your guilt is taken away. This is in the Old Testament. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven. Whee! Do this with me now. We are going to get Pentecostal. Both hands. Here we go. Because this is worth celebrating. So here's what I've taught you so far. Wow. Whoa. What? Mate, do it like this. Do it with a cross. Like, just do the cross. What? Because that's what Jesus does. He forgives our sins and he throws it, according to Jeremiah, into the sea of forgetfulness. You can't go find it anymore. It's gone. Boy, you would think that we would be pretty happy about that. I couldn't stand up here without that kind of grace. It is awesome. Whee, do it with me. Come on. Whee, louder. Whee, harder. Whee. We are all French now. That's awesome. Whee, whee. I think there's such a joy in being forgiven. There's an old, I lived through the Jesus music days, like the hippies. And all of my youth leaders were hippies who found Jesus. And everybody was so happy. You know why? Because we were forgiven. The 60s, we were forgiven. It was awesome. And when you have a new heart, man, it is so much fun. It is so much joy. You don't have to pump yourself up. And you realize what God has done for you with the cross. You wake up and I'm like, I can do anything now. I'm good. God is so good to me. I can wake up. I'm going to love God. It's so good. We still have ups and downs, but man, I know he's with me. And with Jesus, I can handle anything. Not with me, but with Jesus. It's amazing. All right, let's wrap this up. You know where this is going, right? Let's review. When you encounter God, you're going to go, wow. Yeah, you're going to go, whoa. You're going to go, whoa. You're going to go, ooh. I got this wrong, right? Stacy, where are you? Yeah, this is what? Yeah, thank you. I taught you wrong. I was so excited about the gospel. I went right to the thing. No. So, what? What was the hand motion, honey? Yeah, that's a great point. Point to you and say, what? I got to get this right. I'm sorry. All right? Do this with me. Wow. I got it wrong again, didn't I? All right. Somebody teach me right now. Wow. Whoa. Did I do this right? Stacy, come up here for a moment. No, she doesn't want to come up here. Do it for me. Do it for me right now. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. That's what I thought I was doing. All right. Sorry. Ready? Wow. Exactly, we got that right. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. Now we're. Let's close in prayer. I think that's all we got. You know, sometimes God gives you these moments, and it's just kind of crazy. But watch this. Here it is. Verse 8. Then, now it's interesting. 6 started with a then, right? Verse 6. One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, right? And then he says, This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. And then it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, why then? I actually think God might have been talking the whole time, but because of his sin, he couldn't hear God. But once he confesses his sin and repents of it, what happens? I heard the Lord speak. Look at verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Whee! This is it, man. This is so much fun, right? Because this is the part. All we ever do as church people, and I never miss, by the way, I always join the body of Christ when it gathers. I value it deeply. I value the church gathered deeply. But you know what else I value deeply? Just as much. When we walk out of this building, we are the church on mission. I value that too. In fact, the only hope for this world is that we walk out these doors and we take Jesus with us so that more people can know how great God is. This is critical. You could ask philosophically, why would we even spend an hour together worshiping God and hearing the word if we're not going to do anything about it? And you're like, well, that's why we pay a pastor. There's not enough paid pastors to change the world. But if all of us live for Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm just a farmer. Can you use a farmer? I'm a stay-at-home mom. Can you use a stay-at-home mom? I'm just a guy that gets up and goes to work and takes care of my family. Whatever your thing is, when you walk out of here, you're never just anything. You're a child of the King. And I want to tell you something. You are a missionary, whether you believe it or not. You know who brought the gospel to me? My mother. You know who brought the gospel to her? Because we had no gospel in my family. Her bartending friend. I'm so glad she didn't say, I'm just a, you know, ex-bartender who found Jesus. No, you know what she did? She started telling the gospel to my mom. And my mom was having none of it. But they just stayed friends. And over the years, at some point, my friend shared the gospel with my mom and then her friend. And at some point, she received Christ as her Savior. And here I am. I didn't know what a pastor was. I didn't know what a church was. But I knew to Jesus. Right? And then I wanted to be at church. What if God could use you just like that by when we walk out of here, you just loving people, even the crazy ones? Yeah. Because you got them. I want to tell you something. I don't have a lick of time for religion or churchianity. Oh, that's a waste of time. I want to follow the King. And that means the last word I heard from him was, go as you go, make disciples. That's why I'm obsessed with Jesus. Because he reminds me, I'm going to save you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to make you in my family. But I'm going to send you out. I love the church gathered. But I also love equally the church on mission. Aledo, Illinois needs all of God's people to be on mission. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew. You know Jesus. That is enough. My question to you is, will you? Oh, nice sermon, Pastor, especially since you screwed up the whole situation today. I dirty double dog dare you. To go say it one last time for me.
Wow.
What? Lord, I've used the silliness of humanity to just teach this simplicity. My prayer is that we would be fixed on you. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for not only forgiving our sin, but like it says in Isaiah, our guilt is gone. And Lord, I pray more than anything, your spirit would animate each person in this room so that when they walk out of here, they will think about where they live, where they work, where they play, and where they church. And they will be missionaries in those places in Aledo, Illinois. The gospel needs to grow in Aledo, Illinois. God, do it. Do it through your people. And I pray that this time in which there is no senior pastor, I pray, God, this would be the greatest time of advance of the gospel in Aledo, Illinois. We all praise you, God, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.